Yeah, so I guess with this time here, I just want to be here as a sort of resource person. If you have any sort of questions that you want to raise, or ideas or thoughts, maybe you feel inspired by something said this week that you'd like to try, or I'm just literally here just to answer any questions that you may have, maybe from a conference level. Or administrative level when it comes to community services, urban ministries, that sort of thing. So anyone have any questions that they're just burning to ask? You just Yes. And it's honestly, I think about it a lot. I was in the very initial stages with the government getting this responsibility of opening up the warehouse, and I just keep thinking, God has put us in an amazing place. He put us in an amazing position to help. And, that being said, just some background to how that even happened. There's something called the non-government organization of Alberta, the NGO Council of Alberta. And essentially, it's a council of non-government organizations such as Red Cross, such as Samaritan's Purse, Mennonite Disaster Services, St. John's Ambulance. It's NGOs that sit in a council, and provincially, we strategize on if there is a large-scale disaster, what will each organization provide? What is your capacity? And so, for instance, Samaritan's Purse, they showed up in Fort Mac, and their responsibility there is they would help families find things in the rubble, in the ashes. They have a strategic system. They have tools to help families if there's a fire or flood to go in and sift through and find things that are valuable to families. That's what they do. And so the question came around the table several years ago, what can ADRA do? What would you like to do if there is a disaster? Funny story, a friend of mine from St. John's Ambulance, after one of our meetings was finished, said, "Lyle, I know that they would love for someone to handle donations management. I did it with the Slave Lake fire a couple years ago. It was a complete disaster. Don't touch donations management." She gave me a story as to why she arrived at that answer. The community at the time donated floods of items. They flooded the place with items. And one of her responsibilities were to help manage the donations. However, they didn't have the resources, the skills, and when everything was over, they ended up throwing out all of the donations that they didn't need. The media got a hold of that, and you could expect what happened. They took that to town. They complained, they criticized the government. And so this time around, my friend from St. John's Ambulance, she said, "That's why I'm telling you, Lyle, you don't touch donations management." However, what she didn't know was that in the States, especially with Adventist Community Services, Adventists are very proficient in donations management. It's a part of the disaster response, our skills. And so it fit perfectly in line with what we could offer. I don't know if you see what I'm saying here. They were saying, "Don't touch it, it's a disaster." But we already have, right, Mayellen, Adventist Community Services. That's one of the things that we do, disaster response. What made it a disaster? They didn't know, they didn't have the technical skills of how to manage inventory. They didn't know what to do with all of this stuff. And so they just chucked it. They just threw it out.
But the money business.
The money? What do you mean?
You mentioned money
Oh, there was a disaster in Slave Lake. It was a fire. Did you hear about the fires in Slave Lake several years ago? Yeah, and so
You're talking about managing donations in kind, right?
Yes,
Yes, you're
yes,
talking about
yes.
that a disaster.
Why was it a disaster? It
Yes.
was a de disaster once again because the person from St. John's Ambulance, that wasn't their expertise. So we have a warehouse, right, that is strategically placed. There's inventory, there's sorting, there's, it's an operation. They didn't have those skills. They didn't have an exit strategy. And so with all of the donations that came in, they threw it to the landfill. And so the community was saying, well, hold on, we gave you all of this stuff to help. Why would you discard it? But with ATRA coming on now, and with our partnerships with, from Adventist Community Services at the North American Division, we have an operation, organization that is so successful, the government's taking notes. Mm-hmm. They're looking to us now. And I believe because of our success with this thus far, when another disaster hits, they're going to knock on our doors again and say, ADRA, can you run this operation? Mm-hmm. So it's been a blessing. In disasters, I'm finding that God also has blessings in store. It's a perfect platform for us as Adventists. Now people are starting to ask questions. Who are these Adventists? Oh, they help. They have these skills. And so it's opened up a door for us to be known all across Alberta and Canada. And so it's been really good. And I'm starting to find more members wanting to get involved as well and asking how can they help. And the spirit of service is starting to be sort of revived, which is a blessing as well. Yeah, yeah. Yes, Pastor.
That question about
that. That's myself, yeah. So I take care of Adventist Community Services as ADRA as well. As ADRA as well. And disaster response.
The question in my mind is, we are studying about ACS service applying to the local church.
Mm-hmm.
So we do quite well on the ADRA level, the nationwide or province level.
Yeah.
But we would like to give some impact to the community.
Right? Yes. Yes.
So how can we start? Do we have any manual to do that? We can do, but we need some help. Like we are a small church.
Yes.
100-member group of people gathering. So as we start, there's a lot of effort needed and material needed.
Right.
So when we start, a kind of good neighbor. Good neighbor.
Oh.
Goodwill.
Oh, goodwill. Yeah. Yeah.
It's work very well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Citywide or regionalwide.
Yes.
So I'm thinking that when I'm coming back to local church, I'd like to call some pastors nearby, would like to cooperate each other.
Yes.
Launch that kind of free gig or free lectureship, like free will, a goodwill types of community center.
Right.
For
sure, and I think that's a great idea. There was another church who was looking to start that as well. Yeah, having sort of a Goodwill Salvation Army sort of set up at the church, and it's actually not that difficult. Does your church own the building, or are they renting? Oh, you own. That's even better. Because that's one of the snags we hit. They were renting, so it's kind of difficult if you're renting the space to set up shoes and clothing and donations in your basement when you don't own it. But the fact that you own it, it makes it a lot easier. And I'm glad to sit with you and go through the steps of how to get that running. Yeah, I actually just did that several months ago. Yeah, I did. I helped, but where we ran into trouble was the building. They were renting. And so you could lay the clothes out, but then eventually you're going to have to take them up because the other church is using the space. Yeah. And so, but it's a really good initiative. Yeah, yeah. So let's talk afterwards, for sure. And on that, are there any other ideas as such that you're thinking of maybe throughout this week because you've heard Dr. May Ellen that you'd like to implement or try in your community? Any ideas that have sort of spurned
Of already things that are happening.
Yes, yes.
Applying last year to this year.
I'm wondering about something that's been on my heart but haven't done anything. To have pre-disaster classes for communities where you have your grab-and-go kit or things like that. What to do if, say, like there's certain things that can happen. You can be in a tornado prone zone.
Yes,
you can
yes.
You know, you could have a train with toxic chemicals, and just kind of talk to people about the importance of having a pre-plan. And if our church could give out these classes, and I remember years and years ago, one of our churches hired a outdoor specialist to try and teach us how to camp in winter outdoors.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was kind of neat. But, you know, this type of thing to pre-prepare, so, because nobody's ready for a disaster.
It's true.
But
it's so true.
It should be in our consciousness. So that is just one idea.
Yes.
And I have a second one that I'll mention later after somebody else.
I just want to touch on it very quickly. I have training with the Red Cross as well. And so what they do is the disaster preparedness for 72 hours. And there's a presentation where, you know, you get your backpack ready, you get whether it's in place shelter or out. I would love to come to your churches and share that with the membership. And you know, it's interesting. There's just little key things that come out in being prepared that you don't think about. But for instance, I'll give you an example. I think about 2 years ago, there was a bad car accident on Highway 2 headed towards Leduc. I don't know if you heard about it. For about 7-8 hours, people were stuck on the road. You were in that. Now, a lot of people were not prepared for that. But there are some who had backpacks with water, with a granola bar. They had some kids' toys for their kids, a blanket. Those types of key little small things would help you when you have to sit in your car for 9 hours. And so just talking about some of these things, being prepared, and I'm willing to come to Lethbridge and share that with you. One of the other things you touched on was, you talked about disaster repair. What was the second thing?
The thing was that we were talking about when it's time to kind of close down the warehouse.
Okay.
That we have so many Arctic communities that have never been touched with the
yes.
presence.
Yes.
And a lot of the reserves. I know we're doing wonderful things at Maskouchees, but boy, there's sure a lot of other communities that might do well to learn about our name. And it would open doors, open hearts. We could just kind of come through with that message at some point later.
And that's a good point. We will have leftover of things in stock. It would just be a matter of how do we transport them from the warehouse to some of these far away places. But that's something that could be discussed logistically. Yeah, yeah. And you talked about, I'm coming to you, you talked about survival. Two years ago, the Pathfinders had Mike Lowe. Mike Lowe, he's an expert, right? Survivalist. He's coming back again this year. His name's Mike Lowe. He's a Seventh-day Adventist, and he specializes in outdoor survival skills. Great guy. He teaches you how to survive in the wilderness, how to catch animals if you need to eat. He taught us how to catch a squirrel, and he teaches us what's edible. And so he's coming back in October, and we're thinking of having it down at Sherwood Forest, where we would camp. You're camping, you're learning how to survive off the land, and so that's something that interests you. We can definitely get your name. Yeah, that's in October coming. That's a good, and you know, I think he only takes a certain amount of people. It's hard to teach, but we can bring him back however many times if there is a need. Right, that's a possibility. Train the trainer? Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Train the trainer kind of, because these are the kinds of things that we can do in our church.
Mm-hmm.
Like Pastor Murley on Wednesday, I mean, he was talking about if we do workshops in our church,
mm-hmm.
And he showed a bunch that he does, like grief recovery and all this kind of, you know, parenting, single parenting and all that. But I mean, like, our church is a little church. It's Boyle, on the way to Fort McMurray. Well, there's a lot of people that came from that disaster down to Boyle. And a lot of them are going to end up moving there. And so they want to live there permanently. So, you know, now they've gone through this disaster, they would come to a community service like the one you're saying about disaster preparedness.
Oh, disaster preparedness. Yeah, yeah.
And if we did it in our church, they would recognize, hey, there's some people here that are concerned about us.
Right. Yeah. So you're saying, though, to train the trainer for disaster preparedness?
Or for survival.
Oh, for survival. Survival. Oh, but this is
even disaster preparedness.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Rather yeah.
than, you know, make it too hard on you in the sense of going to 40 or 50
True.
Churches and teaching this.
True.
Just have a train the trainer session.
What I could do is, we could do it regionally. Let's say it yeah. could be at one of the churches in Edmonton, but we invite all of Edmonton to learn about disaster preparedness. And in that, we could be training someone in the crowd sitting and taking notes, and this is how you do it. So it would serve the greater population, but yet at the same time, train someone to do that. As a matter of fact, I think that every church should have somebody who is trained in that.
Exactly.
Especially in these last days, because over the last 3 years, we've had a disaster every summer, so to speak.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of if. It's just when. There's going to be another one on the rise. And so I think you're right.
Yeah.
And Adventists, that can also, I think we'll start to build our profile
yeah.
with as disaster sort of management, disaster preparedness.
I bet you Agile would even fund something like that. Train the trainer.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
There are dollars for that as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, the one thing I had, and I asked James this question, but since you're in charge of Adler for the conference,
mm-hmm.
Boyle, our little church, is the last church before Fort McMurray on Highway 63. And we've had people, who were Adventists visiting from almost all the way to Slave Lake. Now, I know they have a little group meeting there now.
Yeah.
And so Slave Lake had the fire.
Yeah.
And a lot of the people were evacuated to Athabasca, which is we are in Athabasca County.
Okay.
So the one thing that we struggled with is, where can we go to, find out what we can do in this kind of a situation? We're just a tiny little church, but we've got willing hands and willing feet to do it, right?
I see.
So could the conference kind of come up with a disaster response for churches in areas where the disaster would be, like how
right.
would they respond?
Right.
Or give some guidelines on, should we meet with the mayor and the county and all this kind of thing?
Yes.
Set up something?
Yes, yes. You raise a very good point. And once again, I'd be willing to sit down and explain that there are some churches who are a registered reception center. For instance, Garden Road Church, they're registered with their county, with their municipality. And so if something were to happen, the municipality has them in their disaster response plan, that we can send displaced victims to Garden Road. They will be taken care of. There'll be cots, there'll be food. And so you can make these arrangements with your local municipality. And I would love to sit and teach you how to do that. I can come down to the church as well. And so you're set up, so when the disaster hits, you can be activated right away. And I think that because it seems like you're closer, you were close to these disasters, your church would be a good place. To have that set up. Yeah, that's in Calgary. Yeah, yeah. So when the floods happened in Chestermere last year, they were contacted, as well as with High River. They actually had a group of people who were directed and stayed at the church, actually. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yes.
So how do they get a hold of you?
I don't have a card with me. Oh, yes. That would be wonderful.
Because I'm from Olds.
Olds, okay.
We're in the tornado area.
Yeah.
We had 3 tornadoes at one time coming from the west.
Okay.
One hit the urban area between Olds and Sundry, and the other went over to Bowdoin and took it out. And the
wow.
other one kind of petered out a little bit.
Wow.
Both of those did a lot of damage.
So you're in a danger zone.
Area, and as we can look, things are getting much worse.
Mm.
The storms are much, much
True.
more intense than they ever were.
Yeah, yeah. So it seems like there's churches who would probably take precedence in terms of teaching, training when it comes to disaster preparedness, yeah. And Olds is one of them.
Yeah.
Boyle. Oh yes, that's right. That's right. It was a funnel cloud.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It touched down.
It touched down.
A couple houses.
Oh my.
So
L notice. At Alberta. Adventist.ca. So that's my email right there. What I want you to do is take my email down. Email me with the item that we talked about here, just so that it refreshes my memory, and I'll respond to you each individually, and then set up a time where I can come to the church. I can do a presentation, teach and train. I can speak in the morning. What I'll do is I'll speak in the morning, and then afternoon, go through a seminar workshop on disaster preparedness, and get the church trained in how to be aware and what to do. From that perspective. And I'll also look about having regional training in Edmonton, Calgary, and we'll see if we can do one even in Central Alberta. We don't want to forget them as well. Yes, yeah, yeah, yes.
Just another idea about resources.
Good question. And what Dr. May Ellen is speaking about is last year we had Dr. Martin Feldbusch out. Did anyone take the crisis care training last year? So we have crisis care training that helps individuals through their challenges, their disaster. It's really great training. For this disaster in Fort Mac, we actually tapped into our database and asked those who had been trained if they would be willing to go up to Fort Mac to provide what they call spiritual care and psychosocial services or support. Out of all those people who were trained, it was quite difficult with people's work schedules, getting them up there. But that being said, we do have resources in that sort of aftercare through crisis care training. Yeah, and there are about, I think, 50 individuals in the Alberta Conference who are trained with that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Many pastors,
yes. Yeah, and some pastors actually have gone up to Fort Mac and provided the spiritual support. But it is something that we provide. As a matter of fact, on the NGO Council, they had mentioned at the time, what can ADRA provide for that psychosocial support? And to which I said, we have trained individuals who are trained in crisis care training. And so pastors have sort of been going up and providing that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you know, I just think that would really help them.
Right, right.
You know, and I think that comes up in Nedley's seminars too.
I see. Of which I did say that I'm going to include you on an email with Pastor Guzman and Pastor Bodwin, to see if you can be one of those who go up to Fort Mac and provide the depression recovery.
Should I pass so you can email people?
Yes, that would be wonderful, actually. Yeah, please.
Great.
Yeah.
And I also can send you this slide that has all these crucial follow-up things, and I'll use that list also.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Maylin, for this time.
Any
other questions?
Yeah, we've got to make the best of it.
I see.
Are there any things that you did last year? I mean, from last year's, how many of you actually assessed your community since I saw you last? We had a whole module on that, but you spoke to community leaders and then developed some kind of a response from your church. Yeah, how'd that go?
We started out with a pretty good group. Well, actually what I did is I went and asked the church board to give me a group to make up a survey type of program. And we started out with a really good group on Saturday afternoon, but it deteriorated.
Oh.
And so by the time we finished the community, it was just the pastor and myself. Now, there was some interesting things that came out of it. I have a business in the community, so I know a lot of people, and it took me forever to get through because we'd stop and talk and visit. People just wanted to visit. One couple we went to, they were members of the Lions Club, and they generally put a Mother's Day brunch on, and they just didn't have the support to do it anymore, and they thought they were giving it up. Now, it was very well supported from the community.
Mm-hmm.
So we volunteered as a church group to assist them in wow. putting this Mother's Day brunch on.
Wow.
It was interesting to me. We've got a young, not a young couple, but a couple that are coming who have been, they've been alcoholics and they've been clean for quite a period of time. I've been struggling in getting them, they just don't seem to be really interested in Bible studies, but they were really interested in coming and taking part in this Mother's Day brunch. That was really encouraging to me, and I'm realizing for them more and more it's to get them involved in ministry.
Yes, yes.
Now, through our survey, the question was, we'd like, you know, we're from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we'd like to figure out ways that we can serve our community more, serve you more. What do you see as the needs of our community? And then we did have a few things itemized because it seemed to catch people a little bit off guard. They couldn't jump to anything that they specified as needs.
Mm.
Some of the things that have come forward are financial peace or some financial training because of the times we're in. Depression recovery was another really big one.
Mm.
We're an older community. Grief, care is it was another one. And the other one that come up that I'm kind of, I don't know how to approach, or is something for kids to do. There seems to be too much time and no organization for kids.
Interesting.
Now, we didn't get to the leaders of the community or to talk. I haven't gone, this was just largely the people of the community.
Yeah.
But I since this survey has been done, and we've made plans now for a financial Dave Ramsey's program come fall.
Okay.
I'm also involved on a steering committee. The Beaver County has asked me to serve on a steering committee to figure out what we can implement more in our community. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
See. So, you know, we haven't really worked, we've got plans in place.
But
we haven't really done anything at this point in time. Now, we are, like I said, we have scheduled the financial piece for October.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes.
That
was the top one from surveying the people in the community.
So assessment opened some doors to some relationships.
It did. It really did.
Yeah.
You know, you get good data, you make friends.
Yeah.
It was really cool to see that they had a need at that Mother's Day brunch. We were able to come in, fill that need, and we also brought in some that I'd like to introduce to the Bible and study more.
Yeah.
But that was a better way, it seemed like, to bring them in.
Yes.
To help us with that.
Yes.
They
yes.
were right on board.
Mm-hmm. I like what I'm hearing. When church members get involved in community, aspects of the community, it's a great way. You know, if you meet your mayor, you meet the fire chief, the police chief, being visible, going to community breakfasts, you know, that's, you're putting yourself in a place to build a relationship. And then when it's time to come to a church event, it's like, oh, okay, I served on a steering committee with him. He's a good guy. You know, so you're setting yourself up to a place where ministry can take place, you know. And sometimes there's steps before they can actually come into our church and be members. You meet them on the road far before that can take place. So I'm actually impressed by that. I love hearing stories like that.
That's
yeah.
basically what we learned last year, to make this the normal thing.
Yeah. Yes.
Anybody else try any of this? And maybe what did you do actually after you learned what the needs or the strengths were even you to partner with?
Did you have something? You did give us homework to do, but maybe half of us didn't do it.
Well, it's like Glenn got a start on it.
Yeah, Glenn.
I just find that I've been trying to get more committees in Red Deer. I mean, it's not where my church community is, which I find difficult.
Oh.
But just trying to get more committees just to be out there in the community
yes.
with those groups. I know I invited Lyle to come to some of the meetings too, just to kind of get our presence out there a little bit more. I find that we're hidden from some of those community vulnerable population impact in Red Deer. I'm just, because my question is, what, who should be looking after that? I guess more talking to Red Deer Church, probably more the group that trying to get in on those groups, you think?
All right, what church do you attend?
Panoka. So I'm...
Okay.
North, but I work in...
But you work in Red Deer.
So,
okay. All right. Okay.
Actually, this year is the anniversary of the big tornado that hit Pine Lake that absolutely demolished it. This year is the anniversary of that.
Interesting. Interesting.
To do something, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It could, they're thinking it could happen again because there's been tornadoes around that area already.
Mm. Right, right. You know, I you know, the community or the area or neighborhood that you live in, that's where you can have the most impact because you live there, you see people, you're in the marketplace, and so I would definitely, it's kind of hard to do something, make relationships with from a community that you're not in, and sometimes we do that with our churches too, where we're driving churches, the church is in a particular community, but you live elsewhere. And so you're only commuting to, but anywhere that you spend most of the amount of your time, that's where you should be meeting your mayor, meeting your MLA, your member of legislative assembly, your member of parliament. Get to know these people well. This week, I missed him, but Jason Kenney, I heard that he was here. That's a good guy to know as well. Not that you're politicking, but where it comes down is when we need funds for natives, for our native school, That's where we can get government funding to help. And so as you meet these individuals, you just never know where you're going to work with them along the line or how they will be able to bless your church or your community. And so, but I love what I'm hearing. I think before I close, I think one of the things that we don't do enough of is mingling with people. Mingling. That's what it says. You know, Christ's method alone. What did he do? He mingled. And so talk to people, get to know people. Interesting story. I get so passionate about this. Sorry, May Ellen, I'm preaching now. I had a neighbor when I was living in Ottawa, and he would see me, and he asked me to go to the gym because I look quite buff. I don't look like that now. Pray for me. So we started going to the gym for about a year and a half. Until one day we're at the gym, and he said, "Bob, what do you do?" I know we just go to the gym here. What do you do? I said, I'm a minister. He's like, "Oh my goodness, I'm so sorry for cursing." And he started to atone for his sins. He did one of these. "I'm so sorry, priest." I said, no, don't worry about it. It's all good. I've forgiven you. No, God's forgiven you. And he said, "Man, that's really cool. I didn't expect, you know, a minister to be so down to earth." But it's interesting because over time, he said he didn't go to church. He'd been living with his girlfriend for about 8 years. They have 4 kids between them. But he asked me to marry him. And it was such a special thing because he was not a Christian at all. But because of our relationship, he said, "Man, I have a friend who's a priest. That's awesome." You know, like it was so cool to him, you know. But not only did he ask me to marry them, he asked me to bless their home. And we still talk to today, and it's just kind of like, you know, if I hadn't made that relationship, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do some of these spiritual things for him. And they did start visiting the church I had left to come over here, but I don't know where he is spiritually, but just once again, building relationships. When these people know how much you care, that's when you can take them further. And so they trust you. Sorry, Mail, and I'm done now. So.
Can I share a story?
Yes. Yeah, sure, sure.
You know, through a series of miracles, we ended up with this little church in the country. And there's a couple that lives beside it. They were not married either. And he started talking to one of our members. And our member says, the air was just blue. And he just talked to him a little bit here and there, and then one day he shared a Bible with him.
Mm.
And this fellow started reading the Bible, and he's Inuit.
Oh, wow.
From Labrador. Huh. Yeah, and then to top it off, he's now mowing our lawns.
Wow.
And his wife, she says, you've got to come and see what we did. They changed their back step, you know, the railing. They took the railing off, and they put it on our church back step.
Really?
On our church back step.
Wow.
It was just beautiful.
Wow. Yeah, wow.
Just being friendly.
Just being friend. I'm telling you, the power of love and friendship and relationship, you can do, God can do amazing things just with that. Just an ounce of love.
And they lived together for 18 years and they asked our pastor to marry
them.
So we put on marriage and we put on the marriage for them and that, we had the food and, you know.
That's awesome. That's a story.
Remember what that is called from last year? Having these relationships. Social. Fill in the blanks. You guys will see. Usually has to do with money. Social capital.
Yes.
That was part of the assessment module. And yeah, sometimes that can go further than money
capital. It does.
And every connection you have, you're making another investment in that account. Your social capital will count.
Yes.
You gave some prime examples.
That's amazing. Amazing. Yeah.
And also this social capital is, it's not only making connections so they can help us with funding, but we can find ways to make connections that we could help them.
Help them.
It's a two-way street. Partnering with them.
Yes.
And much of my churches, my local churches work, the whole list of things, a list of partnerships we have in our bulletin every week, because we're a little church. We can't invent all of our community services programs, even though we went out and assessed the community and talked to leaders, and we told them we can't do everything, but we will try to pick some things we can do and partner with those who are doing things that we aren't set up to do.
Yes.
And so it's a two-way street.
Yes.
Helping them is part of our mission.
Yes.
And that's just
awesome.
From assessment and from joining Rotary, these ministries were started in partnerships.
That's another thing, Rotary, like, just look for community groups that align with your passion, that can align with the church, and join these groups, because one pastor told me, Lyle, you need to join the Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah,
and I was like, what? Why do I need to join? I'm a pastor. I don't do business, you know. But it was the best thing I did. Because there, I sat on the board for 2 years, and I got to meet the key people, the key stakeholders in the community. And they provided water for certain things, sponsorships. They gave free things from their business, all because I got to know them from being on the Chambers of Commerce. And so there's great community groups to join. Let them see your face. Let them know who you are. They're always looking for another person, you know? And so, I see it like this. If we have an Adventist, a Christian, sitting on that board, those people are one step closer to Jesus. If you are not there, who else is going to be there? So that's where we can fill that void. I'm preaching again. I'm sorry. Go ahead. go ahead. Sorry. Pastor.
Just one thing, you know, you are talking about community, you know, and how we can work with them, you know. I've been pastoring a church in Southeast Calgary, and we have different members, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the pastor of the church, he has envisioned something very good. So he invites police station department leader, fire, Boy Scouts, hospital, clinics, schools, all the churches. So we are around 27 or 32, you know, about that. So we meet every 3 months, you know, 2 or 3 months, you know, and we have a meal, we have a session, we talk all together.
Wow.
And for issues, and every initial of us come up front and speak 1 or 2 minutes.
Yeah.
What we represent, what we are doing, what we want to do for the community.
Interesting.
And it's very interesting because one of the members of the parliament, you know, I became friend of him.
Yeah.
And when we have had some situation in our church, you know, members, I can phone him, you know, directly. And you remember that we had a procession, you know, at Calgary.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Central, yeah.
So that man for the parliament.
Yeah.
He was invited. I called him and he said, I'm going to be there. He was the only member of the parliament in that meeting and he belongs to our group.
Wow. That's,
and he remembered, he talked like 3 minutes and was so powerful.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
So and different issues, different needs, you know, that have been so good, you know, that just I call, because, I mean, we have all our emails.
Yes.
You know, all together, we share emails, all the news, so they are sending emails back and forth. So sometimes I call this, and sometimes, what a big surprise, you know, I'm calling this guy, you know.
Yeah.
You know, he's every crazy, he said, you know.
Yes.
You have to talk.
Wow.
So this is good, you know, for the different projects.
Yes.
And now we're trying to do something for the community. The Adventist Church wants to do something with the community, with the rest of the groups. Many people have been displaced, you know.
Yeah.
And they are going to Southeast, you know, because of the needs and clothing, you know, food and everything. So as Adventists, maybe we don't have all the resources.
Yes.
But I told them, we have hands.
Yeah.
We have a project for our Pathfinders. We can help, you know, the Boy Scouts. And he was the leader of the Boy Scouts in the meeting.
Oh, I see. Interesting.
So, he said, I'm happy to join you.
That's awesome.
So this is good.
That's
what
good.
You said,
yes.
This is good.
It's good, yes. Okay. That's awesome to hear. I'm hearing so many great things. Yes.
That